everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Hey guys, this is Jimmy over at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and I just wanted to take a minute to talk to you about DVC Resale Market, a World of DVC company. DVC Resale Market is the leader in the DVC resale industry, with 13 former Disney Vacation Club guides and 3 former Disney Vacation Club quality assurance managers. If you're thinking of buying DVC, browse the largest selection of DVC resale listings anywhere with DVC experts on hand 7 days a week to answer any of your questions. If you're thinking of selling, turn to the friendly professionals at DVC Resale Market, where over 98% of listings sell within 30 days. Go to DVCResaleMarket.com or call 1-844-382-7767. Let them know that the Disney Nerds Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Boom. Okay. Hello and welcome to show number 483 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, we're going to be doing some time traveling. To help me out on our journeys, I have Melissa with us. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, everyone. I've got my DeLorean powered up, ready to go back in time.
Very good. I like that reference. We also have Sam with us. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Ed, Melissa, what is up? I don't even know where to start because this time trip I have been waiting to make, Ed, for 5 years. So this is amazing. I'll just let you get into it.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. So what we're going to do today, guys, is we're going to travel back to 1976. That was the year that I first went to Walt Disney World with my family. So I was able to find a guide from that time frame.
Wait. 1976, the bicentennial.
Yes.
I was around for 1976. I know some of our other hosts might not have been, but I was. I was a youngster, and I hadn't quite been to Walt Disney World yet, but I saw it on TV a whole bunch, and I wanted to go, but it just wasn't going to happen. But 1976, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, we were really lucky. My parents took us down in 76, so it's already been 5 years since the park opened up. However, just getting drilled every Sunday with the Wonderful World of Disney, the opening, showing the parks and how great it was, and knowing Disneyland and such like that, we finally made the trip.
That's awesome. That's
so
great.
What we're going to do tonight is go through the guide from 1976 and page by page, kind of just touch base on each of the things on there. It's going to be a little bit of a memory type of trip for me, but I think more so it's going to be cool in that we're going to find out what they had at the parks. What is that, 47 years ago, and what they kept and what's been there this whole time. So it's great to see this stuff.
That is cool. That's super cool.
And right away, the thing that's going to bring us right back to the day is we're going to start talking about tickets, because this guide has all the information you're going to need.
Well, but hold on a second, because you're buying a ticket. There's no park hopper, dude, because there's only one park.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And that's why they incorporated everything in the one guide. So it's your Disney World vacation resort, basically, is how they advertised it at the time.
The Disney World vacation resort, which was basically.
So
the
they covered everything.
And
they
the had, monorail.
Right. The parks, the monorail, the hotels.
It also talks, though, about going over to Treasure Island and the shopping district and to
Lake Buena Vista. Yep.
Lake Buena Vista.
And the golf course was there also.
Okay.
And visiting the different resorts, and then as well as what was the river country?
Right. Oh, yeah. Everything was open and raring to go. And they basically, their whole transportation system, which covers such a huge area now, was only based on the Magic Kingdom and the things around it.
So it was the monorail loop, right, with Grand Floridian's not even close to being open yet. It's the Contemporary and the Poly and Magic Kingdom. That's the loop.
Right. And they also had the hotel over by the golf course, the Shades of Green, which it became the Shades of Green Hotel.
What was it then?
And we're going to come across that as we go
all
through
right,
this.
We will. But I'm just trying to get back to, because look, we all plan vacations today and we know all the different places we go to. But back in 1976, you had River Country is cool, right? You had Treasure Island, right? Is that right, what it was called, Melissa? Sure. You had that, which those two things were one and the same. Were they? No, I take it back.
Oh, no, they weren't.
Treasure Island's an island, and River Country was over by Fort Wilderness.
Right, yep. It was on the coast.
So you had the loop for the monorail. You had the campground. Mm-hmm. Was Fort Wilderness Lodge there yet in 1976?
No.
No. Okay, so it was just the campground.
Right.
They have They have Pioneer Hall and the Outpost and mm-hmm. like the depot.
They had the campground, Fort Wilderness,
which are part of the campground, right? So Pioneer Hall, which today is between the campground and Wilderness Lodge and the DVCs, was there. So then the hoop-de-doo was going on. That's cool.
And they have two dog kennels. I found that the most interesting.
That is interesting.
At that point, they had two places to board your pet already. Sure. It was $1 a day per pet. They couldn't be on property, like in a resort or at the parks. But
there are people right now listening to us going, $1 a day? I just paid $25 a day for my.
And you know they were pampered, too. They were very pampered.
Oh, my.
Before we get too much in depth, though, when was the first time you guys went to the parks? To Walt Disney World specifically, I guess.
I think it was 95, 94. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact. I was in second grade.
Okay.
My first trip was in 86. Now, I fall into the category of can't go down until your brother's old enough to remember those kind of things. So it took a little while. So I was watching it. I say watching it, I was watching what was on TV because that's all we had, right? Which is one of the reasons why over at the YouTube channel, Sam's Lazy Diary, you find a bunch of the old parades and the old Christmas Day and Easter, because mm-hmm. those are the things I was watching waiting to get down there, which happened in
a lot of great
86.
Stuff.
So it was a little later for me. So I have no idea what it would have been like to be there in 76. And by the way, Ed, this is a show that listeners will remember many times in our 480, whatever it is, episodes. We started talking about it. And I always said, Ed, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. You always told me, no, you got to wait. You got to wait until the time's right. So now the time's right. And we finally get to talk about your trip in 1976 and what you remember.
There you go. Here we are.
It's awesome.
So what you have to remember about 1976 is there is no internet. The only way I knew about Walt Disney World was from TV, from the commercials, from the Walt Disney World show itself, and from the one or two, probably more than that, even specials they've had since the parks had opened up. Now, we all knew about Disneyland. However, that was on the West Coast, and that was like on the other side of the planet for where we were. However, driving to Florida didn't seem like that was too far out of bounds.
Is that how you got there then? Did you drive as a family?
Yes. Yep. We drove down. And just to give you an idea, it was a family of five. So there was myself, my brother, and my sister, and my parents. We had a station wagon, the standard old big jobby. it was a nice trip. And we spent, I believe it was 3 days in Walt Disney World. But we also spent time in another hotel in Orlando, and we did SeaWorld. Did we do SeaWorld then? Was it there? I want to say we did, but I can't guarantee that it was there at that point. It might have been a later trip. But at Walt Disney World, we stayed at the Poly. I remember doing Treasure Island. Remember the animals. I don't remember doing River Country, though. However, I could be wrong, and I have to go through the pictures again. So we'll see. But
so you probably did SeaWorld. It opened in 1973.
Yeah, so we definitely went to SeaWorld then, that trip, too. It was a fun trip. It was a trip to Florida. I mean, you know, at that time, 76, that's a kind of a fun trip to do.
Absolutely. You
know? It wasn't as easy as it was today. Okay, so let's get into the guide. And the first thing that's going to stick out as like jarring is ticket prices. And really the first thing that they're talking about here is they're actually, with the ticket prices, they're offering the guided tour as the first thing on this listing. Now, the guided tour at the time included admission to the Magic Kingdom, which it doesn't anymore, use of the transportation system, which is the monorail, and then a 3.5-hour walking tour with a guide featuring 5 attractions. I think right now for the Kings to the Kingdom, you get maybe 1 or 2 attractions, which is nice, but still 5 then, and admission to 2 other attractions of your choice. So then they give you some tickets to go on other rides. The price of that for an adult was $9.
So that is $9 for admission. Were you buying a ticket book at that point? How did it work?
No, that was admission to Magic Kingdom, and that was for the guided tour itself. So that was basically covered everything for your 3.5 hours. After that, I guess you could buy a book and then continue on. But you already have your entrance to the park, so you're set with that. Now, some of the other tickets you can buy were kind of like packages. And the first one was the adventure ticket book, which was the 8 tickets or 8 attractions. And this is all going back to the A through E tickets that we all talk about, the E ticket attractions and all the way down. And we're going to talk about those today as we go through each of the lands.
Ed, we might have some listeners who are curious, what was $9 in 1979? So it'd be about $37.42 today.
Oh, okay. So $37 for 8 attractions. And out of those 8, I don't have the breakdown of which ones are e-tickets here.
Wasn't Genie Plus $35 this past spring?
Anyway, you hope to get on 8 rides in that day too, using it, right? At least. Anyway, so they have other breakdowns. So they have a 12 attraction breakdown for $8.25. It was just a dollar more for 4 more attractions.
25 cents an attraction. Dang.
They have another one for 17 attractions, and that's what they call their 2-day book, 2-day ticket book. Good for one person includes 2 days entrance to the Magic Kingdom, 2 days use of the transportation, which they keep pushing that. We expect that now. Admission to 16 attractions, plus a coupon good for a world cruise to Treasure Island, which is nice. That's a very nice add-on. The tickets back then, I guess breaking down, they were kind of comparable to today, but they did it by ride. And I do really, really remember that vividly, having that book of tickets and running out of tickets. There's nothing like that feeling. I mean, if you go to the carnival today and you buy those tickets and you just, you know, the kids start running out of them. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So the best thing I think that was a definite improvement they have for today is the pay one price. Do everything you could do.
So in this guide, that it's 8, 12, or 17 tickets, right?
Yep.
How many attractions were in the Magic Kingdom?
Well, we're going to go land by land.
Giving you all of them? I'll table that. I'll write it down because I'm wondering.
I'm going to say there's probably more than that, and we'll go through as we see land by land. But here's the thing you got to consider, and unfortunately I don't have the breakdown, is that you're only going to have like maybe out of a 16 or a 17 ticket book, you're going to have maybe 5 e-tickets, maybe?
I think it's the other way. You'll have most of them as A tickets.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's a lot more than those. I was saying E is like 5 being a small number, but yeah, maybe even less than that.
Well, you do get the Vacation Kingdom book, which is admission to 16 attractions. It's very specific that you can get on a set number of attractions. Mm-hmm. And it is for 2 days plus transportation, a coupon for the cruise to Treasure Island, and admission to River Country. So adult is $18.25, which in today's I'm trying to...
Oh, calculate it up.
Yeah.
And that's $3.25 over the cost of just the 16 attractions.
It'd be just shy of $80. So yeah, that's quite a bit of money. I mean, that's still quite a bit of money back then for... 2 days, I mean, you get a lot, but, you know, 16 right. attractions worth.
But the thing is, back then, nobody did that. So that made it even more, I think, a cost, because who went to an amusement park for that much money? This was just at the beginning of it all. Now, hey, with all the parks out there, we expect it, and we know what a value is. But I think this was probably a good value at the time too. They kind of gave you everything. And as we go through the guide, we're going to go through some of the tips, because I'm thinking this is what you might have gotten through your travel agent at home, or you could have mailed to you. So you're going to read these tips and kind of
sure.
take them with you to the parks. So they have tips in here. A two-day visit is recommended for maximum enjoyment. Go figure. But because the wait periods occasionally develop at the following attractions during the afternoon, we suggest you visit several of them before noon and others after four. Can you say rope drop?
Yeah. Anyway,
so the rides they're talking about were the Skyway, the Haunted Mansion, the Country Bear Jamboree, which is
interesting.
Crazy.
Yeah.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and the Grand Prix Raceway. So they're telling us those are probably the most crowded rides over the course of the day. And don't forget, they had Space Mountain in 1976.
It's interesting that those are the rides that they say are the most popular. But when we start talking about the tiers of tickets, because there's A through E, some of those are not E-ticket attractions, meaning the highest value ticket. The Grand Prix Raceway stood out to me, as I knew that wasn't one. And so it's interesting that was the most popular, but wasn't the most sought after or most valuable ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think you're going to be surprised when they break it down.
If I look at those two, 20,000 Leagues and Grand Prix, those historically had the least amount of capacity. And I think maybe that's why.
Historically, mm-hmm. after a certain amount of time, too. But
right. Well, but 20,000 Leagues, it took forever to load. It still does. If you got in my last trip to Disneyland, getting in the Nemo subs, it takes forever to load and unload those things. So it could just be don't go now because it's going to take a long time to get on.
Oh, sure. Say the same thing about the Skyway, too.
Sure.
However, when they're working correctly, Skyway, Haunted Mansion, Grand Prix should basically just keep on rolling through.
What else was in Frontierland in 1976 besides the Country Bears?
Oh, don't worry.
We're gonna have nothing yet. And
we'll be getting there in a minute.
All right, we'll get there. Okay. I don't think there was anything else there.
Oh, no, actually, there was some.
Okay.
We'll see.
There was an interesting tip that we didn't cover, and I wonder if anyone still does it today, either knowingly or just kind of subconsciously, because that's what you've always done. And the recommendation from Disney at the time was, if this is your first visit, go down Main Street and go to the right and go into Tomorrowland. If this is your second visit, go down Main Street and go to the left and start in Adventureland. And so I wonder why that was. But it would also, in the morning, cast members would kind of know like who everybody is, you know, like everyone new is over here. And so we'll do this kind of thing with them. Or if it was, just because of the rides or something, like what data gave them to suggest that in this 19 page booklet?
Oh, sure. It could have been just a breakdown to split people up, kind of like another way to keep crowds under control. As we go through the guide too, I think there's a lot of subconscious messages given here. You're right about that. Mm-hmm. About the film, about the cameras, about buying stuff, which is funny to see it now, but you definitely see some of it.
And you see some of it continuing, that it's ingrained in people that, you know, you do this in the morning, you rope drop, and then you take the afternoon off and you come back after four. Or, you know, do you go left or do you go right at the hub and spoke? And when do you do your shopping? Because they give you suggestions there. So how much of it, like you said, was subconscious to help move crowds around, which they continue to do with Genie Plus, or even just Genie? Or how much was it, you know, some other reasoning that they had, and now we just kind of use it as a kind of normal thing that you do when you go to Disney?
Sure. I want to say also, this is probably about 4 years now worth of the park being open, getting all the things they've done wrong and the questions that people have had, and putting it now into a guide to help out people get around too.
So what do you think? Go land by land, Ed? Is that the right
way? Yeah. We're going to go through the guide page by page, make it simple like that. And it does go through the park land by land, but it does have some pages of interesting information. Now, right away, before we even get to the lands, there's a full page for people in wheelchairs. So even back in 1976, before the big push for people with disabilities really happened in the United States, Disney has this page in here basically advising people, what are the best rides to go on with the wheelchair? What do you have to move out of the wheelchair? What can you stay in the wheelchair for? Things like that. You could rent wheelchairs at the park at that time.
Is there a cost listed?
There was not.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, no, there was. Rented for $1 a day.
Oh, boy.
Solar rental shop. Look, inside the Magic Kingdom entrance. Guests might also bring their own wheelchairs. That's crazy. That's also saying that we want anybody to come here and we're going to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, $1 a day.
Okay, so the next page, we start right away with Main Street USA. And it's great because this guide has each of the attractions, plus it also has the ticket letter designation for it. And some of these things you're going to definitely recognize. Of course, the Walt Disney Railroad, that is a C ticket.
Interesting that it's a C, right? It's the railroad.
Right. Middle of the road. You would have thought that was free, but maybe it's not the big transportation thing it was. It's really just a ride around the park. I'm not sure about the other stops, actually.
Or the tickets were A, like one ticket, and B, two tickets, or did you literally have...
It's the other way.
Well, yeah, you had in the book, you had maybe like about four or five A's. You'll have lesser amount of B's, lesser amount of C's, D's, and then E's were the most dear because they were the best rides in the park.
But your booklet gave you only so many. It wasn't like you could buy 50 tickets and like an E was worth five of them or some. You know, you'd have to.
No. You couldn't trade in like five A's for a B or some.
Okay.
I don't believe that ever was the case. But it was also you kind of went on different rides because you had to. You know, that's where the A tickets kind of get used up. And some of the Main Street attractions were some of those A's. Also on Main Street was the Walt Disney Store, which was the Walt Disney Story, I'm sorry. And that was free. Follow Walt Disney from his boyhood through the creation of Walt Disney World. See rare film footage narrated by Walt himself, presented by Gulf Oil Corporation. That sounds like the movie they had over in Hollywood Studios, One Man's Dream, doesn't it? Kind of like that.
Yeah, it does.
Exactly like that.
Which might have been. Who knows? But that was free. Nice, fun way to get a story about Walt. We also had the Main Street Cinema, which I do remember that. And you could definitely see some cartoons and some shorts and some things from the silent screen days.
Is that still... I'm getting confused.
We're not running movies in it. I think it's... Isn't it like the art store now or something?
Yeah, the art store has the silent film sort of in the background behind...
Yeah.
Because the marquee is still there outside. And that was an A... ticket to go in there. They also had the Penny Arcade, which I'm pretty sure Disneyland still has.
Disneyland still has the theater, the cinema, and the Penny Arcade. And that's where I get confused because walking down Disneyland, and that's what this was, right? A recreation of Disneyland. The Penny Arcade's still there. And so is the cinema. You walk into Disneyland Cinema and there's five different things going in a circle, all Mickey cartoons, originals.
I remember the Walt Disney World Cinema went from those short films, and then it went to kind of, I think, maybe previews at one point, or it did something where it was more modern, and then they pulled back from that, and then they finally ended it, I guess. But other than the Penny Arcade, they don't have anything else listed as quote-unquote attractions. We do have shops we'll go through in a second. However, at the time, there was four following transportation vehicles, four types, that'll carry guests one way between Town Square and the plaza area throughout the day. So it's the same as it is today. They had the horse cars, the horse-drawn trolleys. Mm-hmm. They had the horseless carriage jitney. They had the omnibus, that double-level bus.
Yep.
And then they had the fire engine. They were all A tickets. So you had to pull a ticket out to use one of those things, which goes against the philosophy we have today of those things are used to kind of slow the crowd down, we're told, so that not everybody's running into the park. If you notice, as the day goes on, those type of transportation rides go away. Once we get out of the morning hours, they get put away because I guess the park gets too crowded. But for the first part of the day, they're there to kind of get people's attention. But it's nice that they were there at the time. And I kind of remember a horse-drawn carriage too, so we might have done that one. The Main Street shops, this is nice how they list them left side of the street and right side of the street.
Yeah, you won't find anything like that today. Left hand, well, let's think about it. The left-hand side walking in is the Emporium the whole way. Right. And the right hand side.
And the barbershop, which is still in there.
The barbershop around the corner. Yeah, in Town Square. Yeah, I was thinking around Town Square and going out.
That's right. The Emporium has definitely stretched. Okay, well, 76, here's what we had on the left side of the street there. We had the newsstand. We had the Emporium. We had the New Century Clock Shop, which is what it was, what it sounds like. Then they had the greenhouse, where you can buy flowers or corsages or bouquets. Harmony Barbershop. The Card Shop, which is a Hallmark store. The House of Magic, which I so remember that place. And I kind of had a hard time picturing it because Disneyland still had theirs and I saw more of those. And then they had the Tobacconist, which is definitely not there anymore. But that's where the Indian was.
That's the left-hand side walking in. Wow, Ed, a card shop, the greenhouse, you could buy a bouquet of flowers.
The greenhouse is pretty wild. Who would be doing that? But maybe it,
right. The clock shop, sure, why not? There are some really cool things on that list that I never got to experience.
Sure.
Did you remember going in any of these besides the magic shop?
No. Not at all. But also, you got to remember that the Penny Arcade and all the other things we mentioned are in between all of these as we're going down.
Sure.
But yeah, I do remember the Penny Arcade for sure and the Magic Shop. But that, you know, I was.
And this was also when you had the street was halfway down Main Street on the left hand side. Today it's only on the right hand side of Main Street, but on the left hand side it was broken into multiple blocks. So the Emporium kind of closed it off to make it one long stretch of store. But there used to be the little alcove there.
Gotcha. That went in. Right. Yep. Okay. So the other side of the street, we have the Chapeau, which was there up until about a year or two ago.
The hat shop, right? Yep. That's what that was. Exactly. Okay.
The GAF Camera Center, which was probably a little store then, right next to the
The Kodak store was for a while, right? And that's crazy because that goes back to this pamphlet in general.
Yeah. And we're probably we're only a year away from that. So
what I thought was neat was at the Camera Center, you could actually rent your camera. So if you didn't have a camera, you didn't have the money for one, or you forgot it, go ahead. You could rent it. They teach you how to use it, give you some tips.
Wow.
You could even have your film developed while you were there.
That's crazy.
Sure. I'm sure it would cost too.
How much do you think a roll of film cost in today's dollars?
And I was going to say, let's take a second here and back up and lament how film made you very stingy with your pictures when you were in the parks in the day.
Absolutely.
Because today we can take thousands, literally thousands of pictures, and we totally do on every trip.
We do.
And we can just not miss any of those moments. I try to explain to my kids the whole deal with film. You had 12, 24, 36 exposures.
Yep.
And then you prayed that you didn't get blurry pictures. You prayed that nothing else happened to make that picture bad. When you developed them, paid the extra money on the other side to get them developed and then get them back. But was a big
thing. That was the fun out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? We took pictures and couldn't see what they look like right away. We didn't know. You didn't know for 3 weeks what they look like.
If you remembered to develop them or you didn't lose the
crazy. It's crazy.
Roughly, if you want to know roughly what a roll of film of 36 exposure, 35 millimeter color film, right? Because you could get black and white film that was cheaper.
That, by the way, is the big boy right there. 36 color. That's like top of the line.
Somewhere from $1.70 to $3.19. And so when you think back to what the cost to get into the park was, it was about half the ticket.
Oh my gosh!
Of the ticket that had the tour involved, and then it cost another $6 to $12 to have it developed.
Right,
which is more than your ticket.
And you get different qualities of development, which costs a different money.
Which makes sense why this brochure has so many pages dedicated to getting quality photos and videos.
Oh no doubt. And that was the only way to do it. They didn't really have video cameras. They had film cameras, and we're going to talk about that as we go on. Just the whole camera thing was amazing. So now real quick, finishing up Main Street, they had the Cup and Saucer, which was a fine china and decorative gifts. I don't think they had that anymore.
That's crazy.
Wonderful Wax, which is candle making, wax creations. Probably just like which they have the Crystal Arts place, probably the same thing. You go in and watch a craftsman work. The art festival, which is Color Portraits While You Waited, which we didn't get those. Actually, we got the silhouettes done when we were on that trip. So was it silhouettes? Oh, no. Let me back up. We all got pastels done. So the whole family sat for pastels, mom, That's dad, cool. and all the kids. So we got to go back. And it was done on that little side street on Main Street, like it's done today.
Mm-hmm.
Uptown Jewelers, which is still there. The Market House, which is Smucker's Jams and Jellies and such like that. That's, I guess, Starbucks now. The Shadow Box, Silhouettes, and Framed While You Wait. We did do those too. So we do have silhouettes of ourselves, of the kids only. Crystal Arts, we mentioned that, and the Stroller Shop. So you can get that.
Ed, that's 20 shops up and down Main Street on the right and left-hand side before you get to the hub. Not counting restaurants and snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
And we haven't, there's plenty more to go, so don't worry about that.
Wow.
And the Main Street restaurants, the Station Break, which was snacks, Town Square Cafe, which is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that's got to be Tony's, I'm thinking.
That's Tony's, yep.
Main Street Bakery,
yep.
The Borden Ice Cream Shop,
okay.
The Plaza Ice Cream Parlor.
Two ice cream places.
The Plaza Pavilion. So now, the Plaza Ice Cream Parlor were separate than the Pavilion. The Pavilion had hamburgers, hot dogs. The Plaza Ice Cream actually had sandwiches, entrees, too. So I'm not sure where the Pavilion
was.
And then they had a refreshment corner, which became Casey's. And then the Crystal Palace.
Those two are the exact same. Refreshment corner, hot dogs turning to Casey's. Yep. Really no different today. And right. Crystal Palace being a breakfast buffet with lunch and dinner also. So really no changes to those two.
And the last
Plaza mention, too, you could argue that the Plaza is still hamburgers.
That's true.
True. And it's sandwiches. It's a sit down, but it's a sit down like sandwich place.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace mentions also as just the listing lunch, dinner, and exotic salads, which is an odd thing to mention. Exotic salads. Like, what would that even be considered?
Yeah, again? Exactly.
It's all the Jell-O. That things yeah, from right? the 70s.
That's interesting. A couple of those I just don't know where they would be. The Station Break.
Oh, it's in the railroad station. The station.
Oh, it's underneath the railroad station.
So they have that little store, and that's where they rent the strollers now under there. So
yes,
that might have been where the restaurant
be
was.
A snack
that's wild. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a great spot for it.
The Town Square Cafe was sponsored by Oscar Mayer. So that was kind of an odd sponsor to have in the beginning, but hey, why not? And Coca-Cola was the sponsor for all the drinks, it looks like. Information and services, we'll just go through this real quick because everything seems the same. So Railroad Station had the ticket information, check cashing services. They had a Gulf Hospitality House. I'm not sure what that was. A film center, the City Hall, obviously, Lost and Found. Baby Changing Center, and the First Aid Station by the Crystal Palace, which it is today.
Do the first aid stations today still have a registered nurse on staff?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We were at Animal Kingdom like 3 years ago. We had to hit that, and there was definitely a registered nurse in there.
Okay.
Which is awesome. That's just kind of an extra little insurance. Okay, guys, it looks like we're going to be going left at the hub today instead of right. So we'll
because we've been here once before, so we're going left.
And we're going into Adventureland, and the attractions that were there in 1976 were Swiss Family Island Treehouse. I definitely went on that. That was a B ticket. The Jungle Cruise, we of course went on that also as an E ticket because we had to see the elephants pulling their trunks out and squirting the water like we saw on the Walt Disney Show. The Enchanted Tiki Bird Room, same thing. And that was a D ticket. So that was still a serious ride. And the Pirates of the Caribbean, which that became my favorite ride from that trip on. And that was an E ticket. Now, what they also had over there was a Caribbean arcade. And I do not remember what that is, but they're saying it was Pirate Games and Fun Machines.
That sounds cool.
So, yeah, definitely does. Kind of sounds like the Shooting Gallery over in Frontierland. Definitely don't remember it, though.
Probably one of the stores today, like the Sunglass Hut or whatever's over there on the right-hand side,
just
past the restaurant there.
Yep. So in Adventureland, there was the Adventureland Veranda.
Which, by the way, Pirates is an E-ticket. And Pirates had opened in 73, so it's only there a couple of years at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, that was
so it's Jungle Cruise. So there's your two E-tickets.
And I'm thinking Pirates of the Caribbean and then Space Mountain, we get to Tomorrowland.
Space Mountain
was the newest ride.
Sure.
So That's definitely going to be a need ticket, but that was also the one they were pushing. So restaurants, we were talking about that. Adventureland Veranda, Polynesian entrees, hot sandwiches, and soft drinks in a South Seas setting. That could be anywhere, like where the cantina is, or then they had the Veranda Juice Bar. They had the Oasis, which was Florida citrus. And then they had El Perita y El Perico. So they had that restaurant way back in the day. That was hot dogs and snacks and such.
So interesting that the Oasis isn't yet Orange Bird. I don't see anything about the Orange Bird there.
Right. And it could have been just an advertising point, or it just started after. Shops, they had the House of Treasures, which were pirates, souvenirs, novelties. We know where that one is. The Golden Galleon, which was elegant nautical gifts. La Princess de Cristal, glass cutting again in Adventureland. Traders of Timbuktu, African imports. The Tropic Shop, Hawaiian apparel. The Magic Carpet, long before the ride in the land came there, was the Middle East imports.
That's right. Long before Oriental the movie imports. Came out.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, they're predicting it. Oriental imports, Tropic Toppers, so hats. Colonel Hathi's Polynesian decorative gifts. Was Colonel Hathi, was he the elephant maybe in, what am I thinking of?
Maybe.
Jungle
Book.
And the Pirates Bazaar. Yeah, yeah, right, right. When they were marching around. The Pirates Bazaar, candy, snacks, hats, and flowers. Again, flowers.
It really has a Adventureland like feel to it, and which sounds like it's what it's supposed to be, but more right. So than it does now, because you have all these stores that have things from all around the world, almost a little Epcot-ish, that you could go mm-hmm. around and you could kind of experience, oh, here's some things from Africa, some things from, you know, mm-hmm. the South Pacific and whatever, and that you probably weren't exposed to back home. Honestly, I kind of like it better. I wish that we had some of these shops there. That'd be really neat.
Think about the circle around where the carpet ride is, and you have a couple of those shops. I mean, I think it's probably one or two shops in there now that kind of have a lot of these foreign type items and stuff like that. But yeah, I know this definitely was created for a World Showcase type feel for sure.
It is. It's cool. And looking back up a little bit there, the Oasis Florida citrus growers, that's clearly where the Orange Bird was. But interesting, they did not call him out yet. But right. That's because he was there in 71. He was part of the opening.
Okay. So, so he definitely was there. It just hadn't become mainstream advertising for them. Yep. Or it just didn't make this guide. You know, could be simple as that.
It wasn't mainstream.
He wasn't recognized yet.
Yep.
Okay. So let's move to Frontierland. Kind of go around the loop of the park now. And they did have the Walt Disney World Railroad Station. So there is a station here. That's
there you go.
Ticket, as you remember.
Tom so see ticket Island. Every time you got on, or see ticket to go on and go all the way around? Interesting.
I'm going to say every time you got on it, it was a see ticket, because exactly. There's no other way to know. Unless they stamped you.
So I'm not getting off.
I don't remember that. Yeah, right. Well, I don't think it was considered what it was today. Like, you know, you maybe ticket around, but that was all it was just another ride. Tom Sawyer Island, which we didn't do then, and I did later on with my kids, and I wish we did it then, because they were definitely better everything about it then. Excuse me. And that was a D ticket. So that's really
Tom Sawyer Island's a D. The next one surprises me more than anything.
Sure. The mm-hmm. Country Bear Jamboree being an E ticket. Watch a hilarious cast of wilderness bears perform in a foot stomping Western hoedown presented by Pepsi Cola and Frito-Lay. We see that a lot. And Coca-Cola did the advertisements on Main Street. And we have Pepsi Cola in front.
That's crazy right there. Think about that. Think about Pepsi in the park that's today. It ain't there. Actually. It's not there. Anywhere.
You had the Frontierland Shooting Gallery, which wasn't a quarter. It was a B ticket. I don't know how they made the machines work. They must have had an attendant there turning it on.
Had to have an attend ticket. Yeah.
And then here's actually the shock of Frontierland. The Diamond Horseshoe Review was free. Now, reading through the description, and I figured out why they did this. Sit back and enjoy a rollicking stage show right out of the Wild West, featuring a cast of dancing girls, comedians, and singers, including Suefoot Sue herself. Sandwiches, snacks, soft drinks available.
There you go. So it's a restaurant. Come on.
And then we'll sell them a food.
Now, I wanted to go back to earlier on when they said the things you don't do between noon and four, and the Country Bears was one of those. That's an e-ticket in Frontierland. Look at your attractions in Frontierland. Forget the railroad. You got Tom Sawyer's Island, Country Bears, the Shooting Gallery, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
There was no Big Thunder. There was no Splash. Country Bears was the only thing in Frontierland when you went in. That was it.
Wow. Yeah. You never thought of it that way.
That's why it's an e-ticket. There's nothing else there.
I think I would have rather gone to the Diamond Horseshoe Review.
especially back then, that original.
And we did do that. I totally remember that. I kept trying to explain to people how we did the, what's the thing over at Fort Wilderness? The Hoop-Dee-Doo Review?
Hoop-Dee-Doo, yes.
And I'm like, I know we've done this before. After I saw the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review and after going back on the trip, my parents were like, yeah, Hoop-Dee-Doo, the Diamond Horseshoe Review.
They're very similar.
Basically the same show. It was the dancers, the comedian, the singers.
Yeah, which you don't get today. I mean,
and the food
today, Diamond Horseshoes, it's overflow restaurant for Liberty Tree, and it's a shame because it was an amazing show.
Sometimes it is. Isn't it sometimes a counter service, like lunchtime?
It's overflow, yeah. Basically, when they're busy, they open it up, and it becomes your overflow for Liberty Tree.
So here are some of the restaurants they had in Frontierland at the time, and there's a couple cool ones in here. Yeah. Mile Long Bar, which I don't know where that was, and it was Pepsi Cola and Frito-Lay Snacks. So it wasn't
Pepsi really again. Wow.
Pecos Bill. So we've seen that right here and there. Aunt Polly's, which we know over on Tom Sawyer's Island. Yep. How about this one, though? Fort Sam Clemens, Tom Sawyer Island Frozen Fruit Slush Drinks. So the fort had its own little stand.
That's kind of cool. So basically under the fort, there's a counter surface that's got a slushy machine. That's great.
If you made it that far back, that's probably why they don't have it there.
That's why it's not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And the only shop they had there was the Frontier Trading Post, which I'm
still there today. Love it.
Yeah, today. So pretty cool.
Western Indian and Mexican gifts.
Nice. Very specific.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Okay, so let's move over to Liberty Square. And actually, this one kind of throws me for a loop here. But let's start out with the Hall of Presidents. The Spirit of 76, see the dramatic presentation of our nation's history as all the American presidents come to life on stage.
I mean, the bicentennial year, 1976, yeah. You got the Hall of Presidents. Yeah.
Everything was red, white, and blue. That's an e-ticket, of course.
Yeah.
The Liberty Square riverboats, cruise down the rivers of America aboard the authentic steam-powered steamrollers. That was a D-ticket. Now, here's the one that threw me for a loop, and I got to think it's the stairway that we take down to where the river is when we get on the line for Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
The Mike Fink keelboats take a backwoods journey to adventure on the River of America. That was a B ticket. We never did it, but was that like a ride you got onto the boat, or was that something that you rented yourself and rode around? I don't remember.
No, you got on that boat.
Yeah, okay. And the picture kind of makes it look that way. It's a bigger raft than the ones that takes you over to Tom Sawyer Island. It's like a bigger boat than that. And then in Liberty Square, of course, the Haunted Mansion. And that was a e-ticket.
Big mansion was always popular.
Sure. Because that was special effects to the 10th degree back then. They did that so well.
Yeah, and you were spot on, Ed, that you get often on those boats at the bottom gate, kind of the extended queue for the Haunted Mansion down by the river. That's where you got on the Mike Fink.
First time I was down there, they had candy stations for the Halloween party.
Sure.
It's a great spot for it. That area down there. It's kind of cool down there. Restaurants and snack centers in Liberty Square was the Liberty Tree Tavern, which is, of course, there today.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Colonial setting. The Fife and Drum. Snacks and soft drinks. Sleepy
is it
Hollow
still called that the Fife and Drum.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Sleepy Hollow Refreshments, which is there still. Snacks and specialty punch, and the Columbia Harbor House fried chicken, fish, and shrimp specialties. And that's you could say that today.
Not much has changed there.
Yeah, those four are basically even the food that they serve is pretty exact. Whereas Adventureland and Frontierland, there's not a lot of
big changes.
Things to today, right?
There's not a lot of room to add anything either. So.
True. Very true. Okay. So now what I always thought was kind of a high amount of stores to the small little land of Liberty Square. We have the Tri-Cornered Hat Shop. So another hat store.
I don't know where that was.
We have the Millie Lafayette's Perfumery.
Wow.
Which we don't have there anymore. Old World Antiques, one-of-a-kind antiques and authentic reproductions. I don't think we have that anymore. The Silversmith, jewelry, decorative gifts, which makes total sense for this area. The Heritage House, early American gifts. Keelboat Hat Shop, so we have two hat shops. And the Yankee Trader Gourmet Culinary Aids. No Christmas store is, I guess, the point I'm getting at.
No Christmas store. Wow.
That Yankee Trader Gourmet Culinary Aids, unusual cooking and serving accessories. It would be interesting.
Big platters maybe and things like that, like old colonial, like cutting boards perhaps. But then again, back then, they didn't have really culinary shops, so they could have had anything. It would have been extravagant. You wouldn't have known.
Well, I don't think today I've seen hot dogs and hamburgers so frequently so far on this list, whereas today I don't think you could find hot dogs and hamburgers that frequently at Walt Disney World.
Yeah,
I agree. I've actually never eaten a hot dog or a hamburger at Walt Disney World. No one in my immediate family, even a kid, they have so many different offerings, but everywhere is like hot dogs, hamburgers, chicken.
It's always been on purpose. So.
Right, you go to Casey's for the dog.
You go to Casey's for dog. Yeah, I've done it, but I completely agree with you, Melissa. This is
right. Other than Casey's, which is known for a hot dog. I mean,
right, and this is the foundation of why people go today. Like, oh, we had hamburgers and hot dogs. You get so disappointed when they come back and tell you that's all they ate because there's so many options.
And I'm going through the flash for the kids and the kids' meals. You're right. It wasn't really a lot of hamburgers, hot dogs. It was more chicken nuggets, macaroni and cheese or pasta or that type of stuff, or fish sticks. Not as much the others, but go figure. Okay, let's keep moving and let's get to Fantasyland because this has to be the land with the most attractions. And even today, I guess that's probably true considering how many they have shoved in there.
Yeah.
Let's start with one of my favorites, the one that I went on in this trip and the one I last went on in my honeymoon. The Skyway.
Yep.
One way only to Tomorrowland. Glide on the scenic journey high over the Magic Kingdom, making sure you know it's one way. D ticket for that one. Peter Pan's Flight was a C ticket. It's a Small World. Okay. You see it, but it's an E ticket. Small World, it was an E ticket. But then again, that's 75, and the World's Fair was what? Maybe
11 years,
10 years earlier. Yeah. So, 64. Okay. I could see that maybe.
Yeah. I mean, but today, I mean, for Peter Pan to be a C and It's a Small World to be an E, clearly those two should be switched. And by today's standards, Peter Pan is the second or third thing anyone wants to do when they have
Small World's got to be an A ticket today, I would imagine. Not B ticket.
Maybe a B ticket is just a gimme.
This next one you're going to get to, the Mickey Mouse Review, which was a D ticket. See Walt Disney characters come to life in a musical journey. It's Mickey's PhilharMagic.
I think I seen video of this. I don't remember seeing this when I was there. If I did, I probably blocked it out. It was really scary audio animatronic Mickey Mouse characters like Fab Five and such like that. And it is basically him leading the band and they're all doing this funny stuff around them, popping up from the stage and stuff. If I remember,
the three Caballeros are in Mexico now, so they're from that show.
Oh, there you go. Then moving on, we have the Cinderella's Golden Carousel, which was there at an A ticket. So again, a really easy ride to go on, and definitely for the kids. So an A ticket. Dumbo the Flying Elephant was a B. Snow White's Scary Adventure, that ride from the past, you can barely remember it now, was a C ticket. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was also a C ticket. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, an E ticket.
And that's crazy.
Plot of Land always remained an E ticket. That's crazy back there. And the Mad Tea Party, which was a B ticket. So not bad. One A ticket, two B tickets, three C tickets.
Look, you can use up your ticket book here. Let's be honest.
You really could in this one land, no doubt.
Yeah, you could.
Restaurants in the snack centers. We had the Troubadour Tavern, which was Welch's grape juice sponsored in a juice bar. Pinocchio's Village House. Great to see that was there.
Hamburgers, hot dogs.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Tournament Tent, frozen fruit slush drinks. Tournament Tent.
Yeah, no idea.
King Stephen's Banquet Hall. Oh, great to see that was there. beef entrees.
That's in the castle, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
in the Cinderella's Royal Table.
Lancer's Inn, pizza, snacks, and soft drinks. And the Round Table, Borden soft serve ice cream and snacks and beverage. So that's probably right next to the Winnie the Pooh exit.
Friar Tux. Is that what it's called?
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
What I'm thinking. Shops, we had the Castle Camera Shop. We had the Mad Hatter, which we need more hats.
More hats, yeah.
The Tinkerbell Toy Shop. King's Castle. Cinderella's Castle, European.
That must have been in the bottom of the castle.
I'm going to buy that. Yeah. Merlin's Matt. And you know what that was? That was probably Bibbidi-Bobbidi Boutique Room.
Sure.
So I do remember that being a really extravagant place in there. Merlin's Magic Shop, which I didn't remember that guy. The Aristocats, Gifts and Toys. The Royal Candy Shop, Hard Candies and Snacks. And the Fantasyland Art Festival, Art Caricatures and Color Portraits. Wow. While you wait.
Do you recall any of those?
No, I do not. But I wasn't going
because
to
all the it's because of all the attractions around you. That's why. Who wants to care about a shop?
Well, and the attract forget that the castle. Everything was just
exactly. Yeah,
but I mean that's what my parents did. They're responsible for the souvenirs. Okay, so let's move over to Tomorrowland, and in Tomorrowland we have a lot of our old favorites in here. The Grand Prix Raceway, which was a C ticket. Space Mountain, which was an E ticket. Experience a winding, soaring race through space in a roller coaster type ride. Bypass the space ride for a free walkthrough of the exhibits, including the Home of Future Living, presented by RCA. So,
where? All right. Presented by RCA. That's interesting.
Where do you bypass it going in the exit? Yeah,
where's the Home of Future Living? Is that the exit cue of the
original? Yeah, that was probably when you used to go on the ramps, or you still go on the ramps and you see the
sidewalk.
Sure.
I bet it was all of that area. So you could just kind of skip that and go through on that side.
And if you think about the scenes, all of those scenes could be interpreted as an inside of a household, because we did see various scenes, but they kind of attribute it to being on another planet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In our day, today, now. Interesting. The Skyway. So we had the other end of the Skyway in Tomorrowland. The Star Jets, which are up on top of the center there. The Wedway People Mover, thank goodness. Oh, I'm sorry. Skyway was a D ticket. Star Jets was a D ticket. The Wedway People Mover was a D ticket.
That's crazy. It's Tomorrowland, just popular today, too.
I think Tomorrowland was relatively new at this point. The Carousel of Progress was free.
I can't believe that.
And I went on it, I think we went on it like two or three times because it was free and we just needed to take up some time because our books were getting low. All of these, I totally remember doing these because they were free. I'm sorry.
Carousel of Progress is the same age as It's a Small World. Both premiered at the 1964 World's Fair.
It's true.
But one is a D ticket and one is free.
I'm thinking Carousel of Progress. We come back to the whole Walt thing because it was Walt's big, push. Well, I guess Small World was too. I'm not sure then. If You Had Wings, travel to the Caribbean, Old Mexico, New Orleans, and other exciting vacation ports presented by Eastern Airlines. Old Mexico. Why Old Mexico?
Anyway. Because Eastern flew there.
Well, but Mexico is Mexico. I don't know if there's an old one.
Well, when I look at those two, Carousel of Progress presented by General Electric, You Had Wings presented by Eastern, clearly two attractions that were there because of their sponsors.
Sure.
And the sponsors want people to ride them, so make them free.
Yep. I totally agree with that. Right on.
That's true.
Then let's continue with that. In the Circle Vision 360, see a new scenic and historic tour of the wonders of America the Beautiful on the screen and completely surround you, presented by Monsanto. Monsanto did that ride in Disneyland where they shrunk you down through the microscope. Also,
Adventures Through Inner Space.
Right.
Where was that?
I'm going to say If You Had Wings and Circle Vision 360 were right next to each other, like Buzz Lightyear and Monsters Incorporated is. They were on that side.
Right, the Nine Eye Theater, which is now the Monsters, Inc. Lab Floor. Makes sense.
And Mission Mars was where Stitch's Great Escape and all the fun stuff on the other side was. And that was a D ticket. So yep. We're back.
And if you had wings, is the exact same track today for Buzz Lightyear's?
Oh yeah, I believe it. Sure.
Same track. They didn't change it.
And again, I do have a lot of good memories of these rides as far as that trip goes. And now I know why. We probably went on them a number of times.
Because they were free. Yeah, you went right back to it.
You can't fault the parents on that logic.
No, not at all.
Okay, so restaurants we had in Tomorrowland. We had the Tomorrowland Terrace, which we have some hamburgers and hot dogs. We're back to Coca-Cola. So I'm thinking they sponsor lands. So Magic Seems Kingdom was way, able yeah. to break it up by lands. The launching pad, which they had there at the time, which is awesome. The space bar, specialty sandwiches. I'm not sure where that was. Unless that's the no, I'm not sure.
Where the ice cream is now over.
I was going to say ice cream. But then also, we don't have the main restaurant there with the little entertainer inside listed either.
Oh, yeah. Sunny Eclipse, the right. Cosmic Rays.
Right. So maybe the space bar was kind of a small version of the Cosmic Rays.
Could be. Yeah.
And then you beefed it up. Yep. And the shops expected for Tomorrowland, very small. Mickey's Mart, the Skyway Station Shop, and the Spaceport. And the Spaceport had to be the little store next to Space Mountain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
The exit.
Now, moving on to the guide, they have some photo tips, which we're not going to go through right now.
Don't put your finger in front of the camera. Was that the one there?
Yeah. Don't put your finger. Don't make sure there's nothing in front of you. Make sure people behind you. Zoom in on your people, but make sure you see the behind them. And then a really nice picture of the park, map-wise. It's a little difficult to read what's going on here because they don't have it itemized. But it shows a small world the same size as 20,000 leagues. That's interesting. But we're not going to hold
None of these maps are drawn to scale, but I'm with you. But look at all that room by Frontierland that's all green that eventually becomes Big Thunder Mountain and Space Mountain or Splash Mountain.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff coming.
That's just cool.
Then we have some more hints for movie fans. They're basically taking movies in the park. So people did have their movie cameras.
Oh, that's cool.
How do I go from here? They have a map of basically all the different places in the parks. And I guess you can kind of figure out a little bit from this map where the monorail goes and where it stops and the different roads. And they even have the Magic Kingdom parking lot listed.
They have the parking lot with the different pieces of the parking lot, which is super interesting. The only thing that's not on that main map is the shopping village.
No, right. It's over to the right. Right.
Yeah.
Just so, where it is in terms of getting there, right?
Right. So, well, we might get there. I don't know what was there. Yeah. It was a fraction of what it is today. It's a fraction of Disney Springs.
It's Saratoga. Basically, you have the Treehouse Village, and you've got the vacation villas and a golf course. Like it's Saratoga, and then where you can cross over, and then you've got the Lake Buena Vista Shopping Village.
Hmm.
I'm wondering about the Empress Lily is what became.
Oh, right.
And I'm wondering when that opened. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Then they list the special attractions and events. The River Country. Jump into a day of old-fashioned water fun at River Country located at Fort Wilderness. Splash, ride, and slide your way into the old swimming hole. Take a rib-tickling glide down a spiraling 260-foot slide. Navigate a raft on the winding rivers down the rapids. Jump into one of the world's largest swimming pools. Or just soak up some sun along the beach, then relax around the picnic table. They also mentioned the world cruise to Treasure Island, which they mentioned the cruise there. On Treasure Island, you can admire rare and beautiful birds among exotic plants and life, walk through one of the world's largest outdoor aviaries, departure from the world cruise dock outside the Magic Kingdom entrance, which is right in front of where the tickets are, refreshments available on board. We definitely did that, and that was very fun.
So you got the boat from the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
To go over to Treasure Island.
Right. Right. That's where they have the boats for the hotels where they were.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that there was a boat that went to the transportation center then too.
I'm not sure. I got to imagine. Treasure Island had their excursion. We just talked about, that was a cruise. So Treasure Island excursion, I guess itself was just the Pirate Paradise via motor launch.
That's cool. Kingdom.
and then the electric water pageant they had in 76. So I'm very happy to see that. King Neptune and his creatures from the deep create a brightly lit procession across Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon each evening. Leaping dolphins and fantastic sea serpents are a spectacular show of the nighttime magic in the Vacation Kingdom. Because that's where we are, the Vacation Kingdom.
Yes. World. That's kind of cool.
And then they go through the different resorts. The Polynesian Village, which was the name of the hotel at the time. The Polynesian Village. And the Contemporary Resort was another hotel.
So I see some familiar things there, like the Tambu Lounge and some of those. Yeah. Which, by the way, Ed, where did you stay?
I stayed at the Polynesian.
There you go.
Very, very lucky to stay at the Poly. Right. And basically, the gist of it was the slide. Because if you watch The Wonderful World of Disney, in the opening credits of the show every week, they had that little boy coming down the slide into the pool, and that was at the Poly. So Dad saw us really digging that, and he definitely took advantage. So Poly Contemporary, and then they also have the golf course, the golf resort, they call it. And they also had Fort Wilderness at the time, too. And kind of weird. They have a train in Fort Wilderness. I guess they must have had a train at the time. Travel around Fort Wilderness aboard the Wilderness Line steam train attractions and visit our new water playground, River Country. So that was there. We didn't even think of camping down there till later on. And then we went back with my parents when we had our two kids, and we camped over there.
So the you mentioned before the Lake Rona Vista Shopping Center. In doing some very quick research, it was only the Lake Buena Vista Shopping Center from 75 to 77 when it became the Disney Village Marketplace. So it wasn't that for long, and it was very, very early in the stages of what ultimately becomes Disney Springs. But did you head over to the shopping village at all?
I don't remember at all. It doesn't say we didn't do it, but I definitely don't remember it, which makes a lot of sense.
And I don't know what was there. I don't think there was much there.
No, not really that much at all. But it was, again, like you said, the start. They had an indoor bazaar, it looked like, over there.
I mean, you're there in 1976. This opened in 1975.
Yeah, we didn't get over there. And then moving in the guide, you have a nice big over... big map of the entire property, which is very small. If you think about the property today, only think about just the top part around Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that's it.
And then they had a transportation schedule for the motor coaches, the monorail, the ferry boat, motor launch, and the shuttle bus.
There was a section on here that talked about how to make reservations, right? So when you were on property, you could go to that Gulf Hospitality in person and make your reservations. But otherwise, your options were either to make a phone call, which was going to be long distance and you're going to pay a lot of money by the minute, or you could write a letter to Disney.
Write a letter for a hold on.
So I can imagine why this brochure was so friendly, because you probably got it from your travel agent. They gave you all the information for you to read, and then they took care of it for you either by phone or by mail.
Right.
Can you imagine, you know, we get up at, you know, 6 a.m. to book our, dining reservations or something on our phones, and here you'd have to put a stamp on it and wait to hear maybe in a couple weeks.
If you hear back, sure.
Right. All those dates didn't work. Okay, let's try again.
And you brought up a good point. They do have phone numbers in here. And, you know, well, first of all, they don't have area codes except for one number.
Well, no, but the area code 305. That's Miami.
Okay, so here you go, guys. 30. Well, you know what? 305 was probably Florida.
It probably was all of it. It was the state. Yes, I know what you're saying.
Now I'll give this number out because I dialed it, and basically all I got was an advertisement saying this number is available for marketing purposes. It's 305-824-2222. Plus they had a whole bunch of other numbers listed in here too. Yeah,
I did look, because of course, you know, what is ingrained in my head is 417-WDW-DINE, which is the number that I was always calling to get those dining reservations. But to see area code 305, that's just wow.
Oh, sure. Sure. Now, real quick before we end for tonight, I just wanted to go back to the hotels real quick and go over the entertainment that they had. I thought that was pretty really nice.
Well, you need to do something after spending a long day in a park.
Well, that's the thing. And I don't think the park days were that long back then, too. I'm not thinking the parks were open till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I think the Magic Kingdom was probably shut down by 7 or 8 latest. But they don't have hours in here, and I'm not sure the hours.
Were there fireworks or any other entertainment schedules, parades? Do you remember anything like that?
The only thing I remember was the electrical water parade, the pageant.
Was there a 1976 sort of bicentennial parade with these characters that look like – I sort of remember seeing those. And
actually, okay. They actually look like Funko Pops in today's world, if I had to say what the characters looked like back then. They were big, blocky characters, but they were dressed by very, very patriotically. So a lot of red, white, and blue, a lot of colonial – costumes and things like that. The characters were all sharing that responsibility too, dressed up the same way.
So they called it America on Parade. I just found. Did you get to see it at all?
Yes, we did. We totally did. Hopefully I'm going to have a lot of pictures when I post this on the website, the show, of some of those things. And I definitely remember pictures from the parade. And it was, you know, standard Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom parade. We were on Main Street waiting for it to start, coming down past us. But it was the best thing in the world because you've never seen a parade like that.
No.
And you've never even heard about a parade like that up until you've seen it. That was, I think, the best part about Walt Disney World is that it was at the beginning of everybody starting to experience all these cool, like, resorts. So Polynesian had the luau back then. The nightly fun feast of Mai Tai cocktails, island cuisine, an exciting show in the Luau Cove.
That's cool.
They also had a moonlight cruise, romantic sailings nightly from the Polynesian Village Marina. Cocktails, soft drinks on board, reservations are necessary. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the contemporary, what'd they have? They had the top of the world, dinner dancing with celebrity entertainment, and a view of the entire vacation kingdom. The entire vacation kingdom, you could see.
Yeah, you could see it all from there. Exactly. So that was a dinner show. It's not like you were going up there to watch fireworks. You were going up.
It doesn't sound like a dinner show. It sounds more like literally a really cool restaurant to go dinner dancing, because the final line is this: coats for gentlemen required.
No, it was a, what do they call that today? A signature dining place.
Yeah, they also have the moonlight cruise at the Contemporary, and they had Walt Disney Feature Films, a full-length film shown nightly at the Tower First Floor Fiesta Fun Cafe. So now that would be cool because you've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, back then, no. I mean, you're watching in 1976, there's no VHS. You're not watching these things at home. You haven't watched it 100 times. If they're playing Peter Pan, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very cool. And even, I mean, any movie, even the hotels today in the lobby playing the movies, they catch my attention still. It's just a special thing to have to see something like
that.
It
is.
Talking through the tickets, and the difference between your local fare where you buy 20 tickets and then some rides are worth 4 and some are worth 2, you can sort of just keep buying as many as you want and use them how you want. Whereas at Walt Disney World, even from the beginning with this A through E ticket, you really had to strategize and pick, am I going to go on this one or am I going to go on this? And that's continued, whether it was FastPass, FastPass Plus, Genie Plus with, individual lightning lanes. Yeah, you've got to budget out and decide, how am I going to spend? What am I going to say yes to and no to? And that's been from the beginning, just in different formats.
Sure. But there's always a way to get around that as long as you had enough money or wanted to spend the money. You could just keep buying books back in the day. And that's actually something I didn't mention, because I think there was still one park, like one kiosk still in the Magic Kingdom, or I'm not sure if
by Winnie the Pooh today, there used to be a ticket
booth. And I was thinking in Tomorrowland, they had one by that information center where that red spaceship was. But that was like another ticket center. Just like the carnivals today, they have 5 or 6 booths around the place and you buy an extra book of tickets. So they made those very accessible to buy, because that's how
You're in there, you want to buy more tickets. So let me ask you this, Ed. Do you recall as a youngster waiting in line or seeing any signs that said how long from this point?
No. Nope, unfortunately not. Not unfortunately.
Well, no, not that it's unfortunate. It means you had a good time and it didn't matter.
I don't remember that being an issue ever, meaning, like, I can't remember being lines. So they never got in our way. We didn't get on anything we didn't want to get on to. That never came up the issue.
So I assume you rode Space Mountain.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so do you remember, like, oh, my gosh, this is so long, or the anticipation of going down that long runway and up the other end?
I don't, unfortunately.
Okay,
don't.
Well, no, that's good. That means it may not have been that long. I mean, it's not like there was a sign up front that said 90 minutes from here.
And they didn't do that back then, I would imagine, too.
No.
They hadn't gotten to the point where they want to tell people how long it is yet. That to them, I thought, would be bad PR.
Sure.
At the time, just the way you would imagine these parks were in the beginning. Now it's like, because they know people want to know that, they're telling us.
Anyway, no, that's I just wondered what your recollection was, because I don't remember waiting long. I don't. No. I remember the attractions. I remember the rides. I remember the being with the family and doing things, but I don't know how long we waited to ride anything.
Sure. And we never got any stories about how bad it was. So that's good.
Right. Because you didn't get them because there was no internet.
Right. No, well, no. But I'm saying, just for my parents themselves, you know, as far as our trip went, never remember them ever saying anything really negative about the trip, which my parents would have if there was any issues.
Well, right. And they would have heard from others that visited and came back, right? That was Walt's word of mouth thing. It's why he gave the maps away early and didn't charge for them.
Yeah,
because he wanted people to go back and show them to others and say, look how cool this is. You should go.
Yeah.
And, I think that's the focus in this booklet about pictures and videos and how to get a good story and make a good scrapbook and what you should take pictures of and how to take them, is because that was his word of mouth. You come back and you had a dinner party and you showed everybody your videos and your photos you took.
Yeah. Sure. Or the slideshow. Get the little slides out and start that
slide projector out. That's exactly right, dude. Get the slide projector out and gather everybody around.
Sure.
Ed, do you recall like air conditioning and stuff? Like, was it still really hot? Or is that why, you know, you just didn't get through as much stuff because it kind of melted in the day down there?
No. I don't remember heat or anything being an issue. I do remember AC being there because they advertised that up the Kazoo, being a hotel and a resort and stuff like that. But other than that, yeah, again, a kid. Don't remember any of that stuff at all.
So you mentioned a couple of times that you remember Haunted Mansion.
Sure.
Well, any other e-tickets that jumped out or other tickets that were like, wow, that was awesome?
Actually, I think the most vivid thoughts I have of the park was the Swiss Family Robinson house. I thought that was crazy because we all love that movie.
Got it.
Pirates, because that became my number one ride from then on, even over Space Mountain. And then the Tomorrowland rides, the little Tomorrowland rides, like the Eastern ride, the Mission Mars, they really stood out. I remember, but I was also a science nerd too. I grew up that way. So that makes a lot of sense coming now. Actually the Grand Prix wasn't as big a deal as I thought it would have been for me back then. Nah, but, it was a fun trip.
So clearly the trip that made you the nerd that you are, having produced 480 whatever episodes of these Nerds podcast.
It didn't hurt. It definitely helped us along. But I was a fan, big time Disney fan. Our whole family was from day one. You know, we just watched Uncle Walt all the time.
Sure.
And it's awesome. And you break up people into two different groups now. We talked about that in the beginning, but the other two groups would be people who are alive before Walt Disney World and then people who are alive after it. Because if you were born after Walt Disney World opened, it was always there. So it's just been there. And it was such a great thing for us because, you know, it wasn't always there. They had just built it. We finally gotten down to it. And that was, I think, a part of the excitement, too.
And that was after watching Disneyland on TV, right?
Sure.
I mean,
yep. And then they talked a lot about the Walt Disney World while they were building it. I definitely remember seeing a lot of stuff on TV about it. It was the whole advertising thing, you know, they had to push it.
Disney's good at that. If you lived on the West Coast or on the East Coast, they were advertising Disney World to you constantly.
Sure.
That's cool. That's super cool. Glad you went, dude. Come on. You stayed at the Poly in 1976. You got the America on parade. You got
how great a stay that was at the time. Right.
The original Carousel of Progress. Wow.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun time. Okay, guys, so were you down in the parks in 1976 or earlier? Let us know. Send us an email. Drop us a note. Definitely, I want to hear about other people's experiences back then. Jimmy, tell them how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 483, Time Travel Back to 1976. I hope you enjoyed the journey, and I hope you all got back to 2023 safely. For Melissa, for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
Ed, thank you so much for taking us back to 1976. That was awesome. And thanks for all that you do for the Disney Nerds Podcast. And for everyone out there, Congaloosh.
Bye-bye, everyone.
To join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee, resting.